Also, you know, burglars, car thieves. In fact, I even, since I hung around the jail so much, I went 2 weeks because it was a new jail and no windows or anything. I went 2 weeks without going outside, without seeing the sun. And I'd serve food over into security, which was a section where they wouldn't let you out of your cell.
Yeah.
And I went in there and I talked to this guy. And I'd always, you know, I read so fast, my folks would bring me books from like a used bookstore, you know, these paperbacks, 29 centers, and I'd bring them over there. It was first degree murder, convicted, going up. I mean, he was gone. What he did was he had picked up a queer in Centennial Park, and he was going to take him out and roll him. And he was hopped up on pills and liquor, and the guy, I guess, offered some resistance, so he killed him. He shot him. He emptied a revolver into him, in fact. And then he just sort of, you know, got real, real quiet. And he said, right when I did that, I wanted to call the bullets back, but it was too late.
I'm sure there are.
And speaking to him, with, I mean, he was just the nicest guy you could, I mean, you would have never guessed him as a murderer. Of course, you know, things like that. I had another friend out in Oregon who we lived on a farm together, and he drove me back to Nashville in his van, and we slept on a mattress in the back of it. And when I was living in Oregon, he'd come and stay at my place. And then I sent my kid brother and a friend, we're going out to Oregon, and I gave him his address. He was living in Denver, and they said, he's not there, you know, the house is empty. It ended up, he goes home to Chicago and kills both of his parents with butcher knives. You know, you think you know someone, but you really don't.
How'd you hear
that? Oh, they told me immediately how we found out about it.
Who's they?
Well, the other group of friends. See, my twin brother lives out in Oregon, and all of these people, you know, who knew this guy who lived in Oregon with them.
Oh, okay. Were you ever in the Boy Scouts?
Oh, yes.
Did you ever... I really don't know how pervasive this is. Say you take some new Boy Scouts out to the woods at camp, and tell them, give them burlap bags.
Snipe hunts.
Yeah. Did you do that?
It was done.
What was the deal here? I just wonder if it's the same.
It's a snipe hunt. That's what they call it.
What did you have to do?
Well, you just sort of say you were going to catch snipe, and you just run them around in the woods at dark.
Okay, and did you, the kids told me in Atlanta is that they have them make weird noises or whistle in a certain way or something to attract the snipe.
Well, I never really participated in something like that. I mean, I knew the score. It was never pulled on me. In fact, there was there's other things like that, even for adults, initiation rites. When I was in a play up at Knoxville, there was a little group called the Milwaukee Sleepers. And they'd have cast parties, and anyone knew. What they'd do was they'd blindfold all the new cast members, and they'd say, you have to remove an article of clothing. You have to remove something you're wearing now, and you'd take something off your jacket, you know, and hold it up, and they'd say, yeah, you know, or no. Then anyway, people would say no, you know,
okay.
And they'd vote on it.
Okay, yeah.
And if you didn't, if it wasn't good enough, the next person did it. But what the end result was, you were supposed to just take off your damn blindfold, you know? And it was to see how much people would take off of their clothes before they'd finally realize I'm supposed to take off my blindfold. So it was but they were all nuts up there anyway, so a lot of people knew the score and just took off their clothes anyway.
I like that. Were they
a new conversation
group?
Oh, no. In fact, it was in Knoxville, and it was a... They've got a superb theater department there now.
No, but I'm talking about the Milwaukee...